There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Phil.
And I'm Jane.
Welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up,
the relatable dating podcast.
You've both done therapy and you have really gotten to what was what and you come to a new place. I think it can be great. I would say in my 37 years of doing this, I have rarely seen that happen. And instead, people get back with an ex and the same old resentments are there.
Hello and welcome to Unhinged and Bumbled Up. I'm Phil, she's Jane, and today we're joined by Abby Medcalf. Now, unfortunately, the intro got lost in the internet and we can't play it for you, but we're going to get straight into it. Now, Abby is a TED speaker. She's a relationship maven. She is a psychologist and she's just absolutely amazing on everything. Like, we talk about how the brain and actually the science behind it are not just reasons that we believe. So this episode and next episode will be all Abby. So sit back, relax and enjoy.
Let's talk about what everyone's come here to talk about, the breakup. Now, we've all seen the film. Well, I've seen the film with Jennifer Aniston and...
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Breakup. So good.
Yeah.
I want you to put away the dishes. Yeah. It's the best line ever in movie history. Yeah.
So, breakups. I think everyone listening has probably been through them. What happens when we go for a breakup? Like, psychologically,
because Abby, they do say go through all the kind of stages of grief, right? Is that, do you agree with that?
You know, no, I don't at all. I actually, because even the stages of grief haven't been kind of proven as the stages of grief. Mm-hmm. You know, that the book got written, all the stuff got out there, and then when they actually scientifically tested those stages, they don't really test. I like them. I love the stages of grief. They're great. You know, I think they have a lot of merit, but no, I don't. I think it depends on the breakup. And that's the whole thing, is that, you know, I'm divorced and my ex and I get along great. And his wife, I love.
Oh, wow.
You know, I love my current partner's ex-wife. She and I were texting this morning. Like, it does not, you can decide how it is. Yeah. And I think there's just such a culture of that we're supposed to hate our exes. It's supposed to be bad. Yeah. It's supposed to be bitter. And so we make that happen. That is a psychological thing called confirmation bias, where we confirm the things we believe. Our brain likes to do that, likes to keep us safe. Yeah. And you can make whatever you want. Even at my wedding, my husband had an ex-girlfriend there who had been there, and she made me the nicest wedding album ever. Like, it was so much nicer than what the photographer did. I mean, we had exes at our wedding. Like, I don't know what to say. You can choose this. This isn't because I'm so special or I know something different. This is something you can choose. Mm-hmm. And I've been through many breakups, and I spoke to every, you know, not maybe right away, not in the next day, you know, sometimes you have to get through something, but if you love, think about it, you know, you loved this person and now you hate this person. It's a roller coaster, isn't it? It doesn't really work. And especially like Phil, we were talking, you know, you have an ex-wife, you have a child. It's very important that you work at this because you're always going to be a family. The fact that you're not a couple anymore is whatever.
Mm-hmm. But we're always in each of his life forever.
Right? Yep. You know, we make sure we do family pictures every year, things like that. I want my kids to always see everybody together. But beyond that, you know, I think it's expectation is the first things first. And then the other thing that happens is we tend to get into patterns where we sort of date the same person over Absolutely. And over, although they look different, don't they? Mm-hmm. They look really different. And that's why actually I have this kind of sort of little process I take people through so that you can truly not keep repeating the same thing, because that's really what it's about. And really, if you're repeating, you're the common denominator. So mm-hmm. being mm-hmm. angry at all these other people doesn't really get you anywhere. And it also puts all of the power, in someone else's hands, which is insane. So I know the biggest thing I always get is closure. Everybody wants closure.
Yes.
And I'm like, honey, closure does not exist. There is no closure. There's only closure with yourself. So whenever we look to the other person, it's really getting into a victim thing. It is, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm waiting for them to do something. Yeah. I'm not happy until you do something. So I am now in victim mode. And I will say, actually, I'm going to go here really quick. I use this kind of filter to know if I'm being healthy or unhealthy in a relationship. Right. And I remember it by the acronym VERB, but with two R's.
Yeah.
So if I'm acting like a victim, or if the other person is.
Yeah.
Right. If the other person's acting like a victim, I might as well stop this conversation. It's like talking to a drunk person, right? You know how drunk people don't really remember the conversation later, but can seem okay in the moment. Yeah. So acting like a victim, acting entitled, that's the E, acting like I'm entitled to any, I'm not, and nor are they. The first R is reading minds. You can't read anyone else's mind and they can't read yours. So I know we think we can. I know what he's going to say, so I'm not going to say it. Mm-hmm. You should know what I want for my birthday. We've been together for 5 years, right? All BS.
Yeah.
All crap. So if you got to say something if you want it. You can't just, well, he knew what he meant. He knew what he was saying when he said that. He knew that was going to upset me. It's all mind reading. You got to stop. The other R is rescuing, waiting to be rescued, waiting for someone else to get closure, someone else to say it's okay, someone else to do something. And the B in VERB is blame. If you're blaming anyone else for anything in your life, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So, and again, if I'm in a conversation and anyone is doing that to me, I also know, I'm like, oh, this is, and it, I have used this filter for probably 25 years and it has been always so helpful in helping me know, because you know, in a moment you get caught in something and you're not sure. It's like, oh, is it? Isn't it? It feels funny, but I'm not sure if I can trust myself. And I don't know. And so for me, if I can go through that really quickly and go, boom, I need to stop this conversation. This is not helping me or them, and I need to get out.
That's amazing. So VERB, everybody, with two R's.
I know
with two
R's. And Adam, yeah, I think it's
helpful if you sort of have something.
The special guest segment.
Lights, camera, action.
This is the special guest segment because, hey, who doesn't like to make a guest feel special by giving them their own segment? Just listen and find out. It's great.
on to the next segment, which is our it's our special guest segment that we are calling Ask Abby. And we've asked our followers on Instagram any questions they want to ask you. So, Jane, do you want to take it away?
I do an Ask Dr. Abby on my podcast, so I love it.
Abby is a doctor, by the way. We forgot to mention this. She is a doctor.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Okay, Dr. Abby.
You can see I'm caught up.
So, Dr. Abby, a question from one of our followers. Why does our ex seem to want us more after we break up, but then less when we get back together? So what's your answer for that?
Yeah. So I did a whole podcast on this. So this is brain chemistry at work. And a lot of this is the work of Helen Fisher, who's a biological anthropologist. If anyone, you know, her TED Talk is incredible. She actually works with Match.com, mm-hmm. making their algorithms more scientific. Do you know what I mean? She's done a whole thing with them. Anyway, I'm just going to say that. So, but what happens is that a part of our brain that's very in charge of identifying a loss and how big a loss is and whether that's going to affect how that affects us gets very triggered when someone leaves us. So we are suddenly upset. I did a whole thing on why you obsess about your ex. Okay. So we start, all this brain chemistry starts happening. Literally your brain gets hijacked. So, and the part of your brain that is in charge of memory, which is your hippocampus, it actually starts to act differently so that you are remembering things better than they were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's part of how all this circuitry, that would be a whole podcast, so I'm not going to get too into the brain chemistry, but just, you can go listen to that, search on my website. You know, I think I have a YouTube video on it too, Why You Obsess About Your Ex. You'll find it in a minute if you want to hear all the brain chemistry, but there is. And so that's what happens. So now, right, I'm like, oh my God, I have to have this person back. I have this huge loss. What was I thinking? Oh, I was crazy. I'm remembering all these fabulous times. We've all done this, right? You get back together, but your brain was lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm back with the person and all the same things are there. So just know, and especially the more kind of crazy an ex is to get back with you, the more they're actually, it's like they're drunk. Mm-hmm. They're high on these chemicals. So just, on your side, it's hard because this ex is finally acting the way you wanted them to all along. And it's very hard to go, well, you know, no, but please know, go watch the videos. Please know this is not real and it will go away, but it's brain chemistry and they got hijacked. I'm so sorry. It sucks for all of us.
Yeah. Another question, and I wanted to answer this, but I'm letting you answer this. How do you prevent someone from losing interest?
Oh, that's so cute. You don't focus on that. So, right? What did I, right? Exactly. Feel those. We have the same conversation. The beginning of the podcast, what did I say? If you're focused on someone not losing interest, think of that. Number one, your brain can't do the not. So actually what you're focusing on is them losing interest.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain doesn't do the negative. Your brain can't think in the negative. So instead, I want you to focus on what you do want. So it's not that I don't want my partner to lose interest. I want to have so much fun with my partner. I want to have a relationship where there's new things we're discovering all the time. I want to have, do you see this? You're thinking about what you do want. And then you could even talk to your partner about that and you could come up with things. We do know that novelty is a very big deal for the brain, newness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do know from the research that couples who do new things together, it's a bonding. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's oxytocin, vasopressin. We get all the bonding hormones when we do that stuff. So I had a couple not long ago. Well, this is before the pandemic. It is long ago. Sorry. And I had them take ice skating lessons together. We had it like a ice skating rink here, and they were laughing because neither of them had ever skated. It has to be something neither of you has ever done. So they both took lessons together. You know, it was really fun. You know, couples take ballroom dance or something. That's actually very bonding because it's new for both of you. But it has to be, and you know, in an easy way, you can go to a restaurant, you know how you go to the same restaurant, mm-hmm, order the same food? You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Number one, try a different restaurant. Yep. Just try something new. Number two, if you do go to your old restaurant, pick something new off the menu. Mm-hmm. I know you have your favorite. Go to something new. it, believe it or not, and share it together. These are little ways that you can keep sort of those kind of hormones going. But again, focus on what you do want, not what you don't want. You're going to break up if you're focusing on not losing mm-hmm. them. No. It's very yucky energy.
Mm-hmm. Phil, will we do one more or we'll just move on to the next section?
Let's just do just a couple more. And then,
perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, I love these. They're so fun.
Okay, here we go. We've got, is it okay to stay on social media with an ex?
I think absolutely. And again, because it's always about the deal you make with your partner, mm-hmm. right? And I will say this, if your partner though is very jealous of your ex, that's not a compliment. It's a mm-hmm. warning. Jealousy is a warning. Because right? It's a fear-based emotion. So it doesn't mean they love you. It's got nothing to do with love. So you really have to look at that. I would also say you have to think about what you're talking about with an ex. I do have a whole thing on micro cheating also. and it's not just your ex, with anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're saying anything to your ex or to anyone else that you wouldn't want your partner to see,
mm-hmm.
then that's not good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I am not a fan of partners having, you know, looking at each other's stuff to check and all that kind of crap. I hate that. It's terrible. Again, it's looking for what you don't want over mm-hmm. and over.
And you will find some of it.
Yep. Don't look. So I'm not about that. I'm just saying from a personal standpoint, if my partner was looking at this conversation, would they feel comfortable? It's interesting. I just recently had a woman I met, wonderful lesbian woman I met. And she and I, we loved each other. We were like really in it. We like really became kind of fast, whatever. But she was very attracted to me and she kept saying it. And she was flirting with me like very overtly. And I realized if a man was saying those things, I would not be okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I knew and I realized if Gary heard that, he would not be okay with it. The things she was saying to me.
Yeah.
So I had to tell her, you know, I was like, oh, this is crossed the line, you know, we're fine. She's great. She totally gets it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you really want to think about that. And I do. I use that as a filter sometimes.
Yeah.
If Gary saw this, what would he think?
Yeah. Or I've used the term of if they were doing that and I saw them doing that, mm-hmm. would I be okay with it? You know? Yep. Yeah.
Perfect.
And then the final one. How do you, as a woman, let the man make the first move? What tips to signal him? Apparently.
Oh, you know, my Gary never would have made the first move. I think men are often clueless when it comes to this.
Yes.
And so it's very nice to just have a conversation. Mm-hmm. I know it. I think it's sexy. I know sometimes people think, well, you're just getting it, so it should just be spontaneous and in a moment or whatever. And just say something like, you know, just say it. Like, how are you feeling about me?
Yeah.
What is our attraction mm-hmm. level? Where are you at? You know, ask. It's okay. He'll tell you or not. And to me, though, eventually, I just think it can sometimes be it's an ego, right? Like even the fact that women want men to make the first move. And I mm-hmm. totally understand that because the way society works and all that, I get it in a lot of ways. There is still a thing that if a woman makes the first move, it means sex is mm-hmm. on the table. You know, there's a lot of hard misogynistic things in there. But beyond that, it is also about putting yourself out there and the idea of being rejected.
Yeah.
So if you're asking a guy to do that, then you need to do that too. Put your own vulnerability on the table and better for you to know if you're in the friend zone or not anyway.
Yeah.
So I think talking is very sexy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Communication is key, as we always say.
I've heard that before. You should make a bumper sticker with that. That's brilliant.
Hey, everyone. So we're just going to take a little break to talk about a podcast that we'd love to listen to. So, here we go. Don't let a breakup beat you. Use it as a launching point to design the life of your dreams and have fun while you do it. Sometimes you just need a reminder that this too will pass, and a little inspiration to get you back on your feet. That's why we are sharing the X-Files podcast with you. The hosts Janice and Claire are both breakup coaches who will show up each week to discuss all things breakup and dating related, with a lot of laughs and a little bit of science along the way. Check them out at X-Files, with a PH,
wherever you listen to podcasts to help you heal from a past relationship, build confidence, and get back out there in a magnetic way, no matter how rough your last relationship was. Now, back to the show.
Yeah.
Please.
I feel like a lot of people end up getting back with their exes because they've not found someone else to move on with. What's your thoughts on getting back with an ex-partner? Is it bad news?
I hate getting back with an ex. I think I hate to say it this way, but I think it's always bad news. I shouldn't say it's always. If you've done therapy, if you have both done therapy and you have really gotten to what was what and you come to a new place, I think it can be great. I would say in my 37 years of doing this, I have rarely seen that happen. Mm-hmm. And instead, people get back with an ex and the same old resentments are there, the same negative patterns. Because again, think of that. I haven't found someone new, so I'm just going to go back here. Mm-hmm. It tells you immediately that it's not a good thing to do. It tells you immediately that really you should think about it. You know, then that means you should really be doing this work on yourself more.
Yeah, because you broke up for a reason, didn't you?
Yes, we did. We all do. We all break up for reasons that are probably very good in some ways, maybe not on top because we, you know, do crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's broken without really doing active work on it, and I don't mean to just say a therapist is the only one who can cure you. I mean, what active work, you know, where you're really doing real work on this issue. Otherwise, you're settling. Which when you just think of that energetically in your body right now, like, oh, I'm going back because I can't find better. By the way, I don't want to be that person that you come back for because you couldn't find better. Yeah. Ick. I deserve better, right? And you deserve better too. You deserve better too. So for me, I've always, when I closed a door, it was closed. Like mm-hmm. That was it. Moving on, you know? But it's also because I have a lot of positive expectation that I would be in another relationship. And a lot of that is really what it is. Think of that. If you're thinking that it's not going to happen, I will tell people that first and foremost. If you really want to find a partner, then that should be the only thing in your head that's possible. Yeah. There is nothing else possible. The idea that you're not going to find a partner doesn't even exist. Doesn't even exist. Because otherwise, you are looking, you're, it's like you're focused in a negative way. So when I learned to drive a motorcycle many years ago.
Oh, wow.
And the first, yeah, I know. Cause I was really cool when I was young.
You're still cool now.
I remember the instructor, he said to me, if you get nothing else, get this, wherever you look is where the bike's going to go. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You have to make sure you're looking at where you want to go, not where you don't want to go. And you know what? That's your life.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is your life.
I had that when I was driving a car as well. When I was learning to drive a car, they were like, look in the direction you want to go and the car will go that way. And magically it did. So yeah, well, it makes perfect
race
sense.
Race car drivers say that too. They say that the one thing they never do is look at the wall.
Yeah.
Like no matter what else they're doing in that race car, you know, going around that little circle, they are not looking at the wall because they're going to crash into the wall. But people do this all the time. I'm going to be alone. I'm never going to find anyone. All men suck. Mm-hmm. Women are this. Men are that. And so here's what happens in your brain. So let's do that. Let's go to what's going on. So we have something in our brains called our reticular activating system, or our RAS for short. And everybody has this.
Yep.
It is the RAS. It's part of your four basal ganglia, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's in your brain.
Mm-hmm. I think I've heard of it before.
you should have. I mean, it's like some great kept secret. It shouldn't be. The RAS is basically a filter between your conscious and your subconscious mind. So anything you think about consciously, the RAS sends it as an order or an instruction to your unconscious to look for that thing. And the easiest example I always give is if you've ever bought a new car or thought of buying a new car, right? Yeah.
All of a sudden you see them everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. Like, are they making gray BMWs? Like, oh my gosh, they're everywhere I look, right? Well, that is your RAS at work. Now, so that's an easy one. I will tell you too, every time I was pregnant, it's like pregnant women were everywhere. It was like a population explosion. And now I never see pregnant women. I don't ever see them. So if I'm thinking in my head, men suck, You know, you can't find a good man. All the good ones are taken. That's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
I get told all the time, you got the last good one, Abby. You got the last good one. I'm like, I did not get the last. He's not a unicorn. I did not. I love him dearly, but I didn't get the last one. So, but do you know what I'm saying? So your RAS takes that. So that's an order that you're consciously thinking about and sends it to your subconscious to look for that thing. Mm-hmm. To look for, if you're in a relationship and you think my partner's always nagging me, guess what?
That's
all I'm going to see. And here's the scarier part of this. Your RAS, because your brain is so economical and efficient, your RAS will filter out anything that doesn't match. Mm-hmm. So if you meet a good man or a woman, if your partner is complimentary and appreciative and saying thank you, you will, it's like you're like Teflon for it. Your RAS will filter it out. And that is why I always get these conversations, and every single person listening has had this, where, you know, you'll say to your partner something like, well, you don't appreciate me. And they say, yesterday I thanked you for this. And last week I said yes to this. And I was telling you how great you were. And you're like, no, you didn't. Or, well, that's one thing. Or it's like, it doesn't count. It somehow doesn't count. It's because it is not, your RAS has filtered that out. It hasn't really processed that in your brain. Along with that confirmation bias I mentioned earlier, right? Where I'm going to prove myself right. And you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
Because it just all adds up and stops it.
Do you see it? I mean, so the number one thing you have to do, whether you're in a relationship or not, is to focus on what you do want, not what you don't want. End of. So if you are, you know, I don't know, if you're coming into the kitchen in the morning and it's a mess because your partner didn't clean up last night, even though they promised they would, and you just get all up in that, then it's going to really explode. So instead, you have to think, well, what do I want? Well, I want a partner who shows me appreciation with action. I want a partner who, I want to be in a relationship where I feel a lot of love all the time. I want to be in a relationship where I'm just, where we just love to do things for each other because we're like tripping over each other for that. Mm-hmm. And as you start to do that, you start to feel better. You just do.
Yeah.
So now if I go to my partner in the morning and, you know, maybe crawl back into bed because he was sleeping while the kitchen was filthy. Jerk. While I crawl back into bed with that, you know, then you can come from a different place and maybe just, you know, so maybe you snuggle up, maybe you have some morning sex. That'll always put someone in a better mood. And right. And you know, then you can really say, you know, it's, I'm having a hard time. You know, the kitchen wasn't clean. I don't want to get into this with you. What else can we do?
Yeah.
Well, how else can we do this so this works differently? But do you see the difference as opposed to going again, complaining about the problem? And by the way, if you've complained about something more than once, I tell people all the time, do you want to be correct or effective? It's the old happy or right. But I used to ask people, do you want to be happy or right? And they said both. So I had to be more brilliant. Yeah. So now it's correct or effective. But it's actually even better because you're right that, yeah, your partner said they put away the dishes and they should, right? But is it effective to ask over and over if it's not happening? No, right? Exactly. It's not effective. So what could you do that would be effective? Oh, I could ask a different way. We could talk about why that's hard. We could hire someone to clean every morning. I don't know. Whatever it is. But if you, you know, at a job, no one does this because you'd be fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had something you couldn't do and you just kept doing the same thing over and over to try to fix it, you'd be fired. So, but we don't do that at jobs. At jobs, we're like, oh, I better get thoughtful about this. You know, I better talk to Bob from accounting, or I better, you know, we start to really think it through. But for some reason in relationships, we'll just say over, pick up your towel, pick up your sock, do this. You always leave this out. You never do this. You always do this. We'll say it over and over. I don't know what magic you think is going to happen. On the other side of that, nothing. So your first things first is to keep focusing on what you do want. And if you're single, that means really thinking about over and over. And I'll tell you, even, I know this isn't where we're supposed to go, but I'm going to go here anyway.
It's fine. It's we can go wherever.
Good. We're going to have fun. So here's what I really want you to do. So if you're single, I just did this with a client the other day. So who's very single and doesn't want to be. And I said, and she can't, the problem is she kind of can't even imagine this guy, right? Mm-hmm. And And this is a client who loves coffee, which is funny because we were talking. And I said to her, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, you know, close your eyes and picture right now you're lying in bed and, you know, picture yourself in the sheets. You try to engage all your senses when you do this, like really how it feels to lie in bed, you know, how your sheets smell, the whole nine. And you're rousing from sleep and you smell coffee. It's your favorite brand and it smells so good. It's wafting through the house. And you hear him, your man, you know, walking to the bedroom and you have a little smile on your face because he's got your coffee and you know he does. And he puts it on the bedside table and you can smell it and you still have your eyes closed. You're just so tired, but it feels so good. And he sits and you feel his weight on the side of the bed as he sits down and he starts to rub your back a little. And he's like, good morning, beautiful. And you're thinking, oh, and he smells so good. He's got that great morning man smell that you love. And it's so nice to feel so loved and so cherished by this small, small act. And it feels so good. Do you see that?
Yeah.
That's what you picture.
Yep.
That's what you do. Where with this great woman or guy, what are you doing? Are you out laughing at a bar, at a pub with some friends, you know, and she's getting along with everybody, your mates love her, and you're playing darts or something, and you've got to picture it. You have to see yourselves doing it, because that's really how you start to get your brain focused on what it does want.
It's kind of like manifesting, isn't it?
It really is. You know, I always get a little nervous with law of attraction stuff with people because they're like, ah, but it's brains, but I'm giving you the brain chemistry behind it, why that works. So that's why, you know, it is real that your brain doesn't know the difference between imagining something and doing something. And again, remember the confirmation bias. So if this is what I think is really happening, that this amazing man brings me coffee every morning, or that this incredible woman is beating us all at darts at the pub, and I'm loving watching her, you know, then guess what? My brain will start to try to confirm that. It will start to try to create that. My RAS will be looking for that thing that I just had an order to look for. So when next time I'm at Starbucks and I'm getting something and the guy I've never noticed before who comes in every morning at the same time, do you know what I mean? He's there every morning at the same time, but I've never looked at him because he doesn't look like my type. And he somehow says something to me, which he always does, but I ignore him every morning because I'm like, who is that guy? Why is he bothering me? Because I'm so busy on Tinder. You know, I'm so busy swiping on my phone that I haven't looked up. And, you know, we start talking. Do you know what I mean? Oh, yep. I like that roast too. Oh, do you like? Oh, yeah, I love it. Do you see?
Final thoughts.
This segment is called Final Thoughts, where we've reached the end of the episode and we take a look back at what we learned, what we're going to take away, or what we just found a little bit funny.
And now we have our final thoughts, where it's a part of the show where we give one thing that we've learned, or one thing that we're going to take away, or one thing that we found a little bit funny. And then, so Jane.
I would say, because I'm in a relationship and I'm very much coming from work and I'm I'm tired and then just kind of feel like I don't welcome my partner as much as I should. So I love your advice of just like greeting each other at the door. And I know that that will take away all my kind of stress and make me feel good. So moving forward, yes. I'm definitely going to put that into practice. So thank you.
Yes. Oh, so happy. I love that.
Abby, what is your final thought?
Well, it's funny because I was thinking it from that first of all, just love all of it. The two of you are fabulous.
Thank you.
And one of the things I took away, I thought I should do, my assistant's always telling me I should do more segments on the podcast because I don't. And I'm listening. I'm like, oh, this is brilliant. It's so cute. I have segments now. So I took that away big.
That's awesome.
And then the thought of really, which I wanted to add to that, it reminded me that the setting intention is, you know, before your partner even comes home, and really thinking about how you want to be when they walk in the door, or how you want to be when you walk in the door, if you're the one out. And I'm telling you, people pick up on that. And I wanted to just say a final, final thing, that our conscious brains process information at a rate of 50 bits per second. while our unconscious brains process information at a rate of 11 million bits per second.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't hear what you say. They hear what you mean.
Yeah.
So when you set that intention and you greet at the door and that energy is all there, that's what people are really picking up on. Whatever else you say or whatever else it is, it doesn't matter. It's really about aligning those things. Yeah. So.
That's amazing.
Love that. And Phil, what's your final thought?
Mine. I love the reminder about the RAS filter because I knew about it, but I completely forgot about it. And the way that you put it, it's perfect because it just makes so much sense that all these people on social media, if they're constantly looking at all these bad things and men hate this, hate men that, hate men this, it's just going to go in there and go, yep.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. I'm so excited.
So, Abby, if our listeners want to find out more about you and get a hold of your book, where can they find you?
Everything is on the website, abbymedcalf.com, which I'm sure you'll link to in the show notes. Mm-hmm. It's with a D. It's English.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
It's my married name. My maiden name is Kleinwax because my parents are from Poland. So very different. I was like, oh, Medcalf, I'll take that. I'm in for Medcalf. So abbymedcalf.com and everything is there. I mean, everything is there.
Yeah.
And lots of free, great information to help you have good relationships. Like that's my jam.
Perfect.
That's where I'm going right after the show.
Great.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It has been awesome.
Abby, absolutely loved it.
Yay.
Just okay, amazing.
Good. Hopefully next year we'll do it again.
Yes. And to everybody that is listening, thank you very much. And hope you enjoyed the show. And Abby has also got her podcast, like she said. So go have a listen to that as well.
Thank you.
Great.
And bye, everyone. Bye.
Thank you for listening.
If you want to find out more, you can follow us at Unhinged and Mumbled Up or
Swipe Forever After.
And if you want to send us an email or check out our website, it is www.uadu.co.uk. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.